Chapter 10. Why prayer seems often unanswered. Daniel, chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. Now we come to Daniel's last vision. This was unlike his previous ones. It was not given in mysterious symbols, but in clear language. The Lord wants us to understand it. It clarifies the prophecies of chapters 2, 7, and 8. Daniel, chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh, nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. How deep was Daniel's desire for light and understanding, is shown by his willingness to fast for 3 full weeks. He would probably have fasted longer had the angel not come, when he did an answer to his prayer. This does not mean that he abstained completely from food, for God doesn't want his people to injure themselves. Fasting is not an exercise to awaken God, or to attract his attention, or to arouse his sympathy. Self-inflicted suffering does us no good. Daniel ate sufficient food to sustain his health and his life during these 3 weeks. By abstaining from pleasant bread and flesh and wine, Daniel avoided rich foods, sweets, and the kind of overeating that benumbs the body, mind, and nerves. There are many who eat so much and such a rich variety of food that their minds are blocked and stupefied. Spiritual truths make no impression on them. Jesus has warned us of the danger in these last days of overeating and eating the wrong kind of foods. By his fasting, Daniel put himself in the best possible physical condition in order to understand with a clear mind what the Lord would teach him. Wise people long have said that abstemiousness in diet is rewarded with mental and moral vigor. Daniel, chapter 10, verses 4 to 10. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes, and looked, and behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel alone, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me to corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And, behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Here Daniel saw the glorious radiance of the Son of God, the same being whom John saw in vision. The glory of Christ was too great for Daniel's companions. They ran to hide. That which was death to those who cherished sin in their hearts was life to the man who had humbly confessed his sins and sought forgiveness. To those who cherished sin in their hearts, the voice of God is as thunder, as the voice of the Father was thunder to the Jews when the Greeks came to Christ. To the one who would follow truth, his voice is clear as the voice of a multitude. Then the angel Gabriel came and touched Daniel to arouse him. In his touch, there was strength. So those who abide in Christ will strengthen all whom they touch in their daily life. Daniel, Chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. The Bible nowhere teaches that men should worship angels. There are not many gods. When the Apostle John felt he should bow before the angel to worship him, the angel strictly said, No, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. There is no honor that men of the world could give greater than that given to Daniel. Imagine, the angel said he was a man greatly beloved by God, and the inhabitants of heaven. Daniel's humility, his repentance, his unselfish love for his people, his longing to know the things of heaven, his perseverance in seeking to be reconciled to God, all had won for him the sympathy and tender love of heavenly beings. Such love is for those who feel least worthy of it. The angel kindly told Daniel, Fear not. Angels of God are not evil spirits seeking to do us harm, looking for opportunities to accuse us. They are not selfish, seeking bribes and gifts from us in order that we may induce them to do us favors or to protect us, as superstitious people usually think of the spirits. Heavenly angels love us, and seek our welfare and happiness. Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Each believer, even the child who trusts in Christ, is given a special guardian angel to watch over him and to keep him from all evil. Nothing can separate us from the loving watch care of these angels every moment of the day or night, except some sin that we deliberately choose to hang on to. Not a hair of our heads shall perish. Notice that from the very first day that Daniel began to fast and pray, his prayer was heard, and the angel was commanded to go to help him. Why then did Daniel have to wait for 3 full weeks before the answer arrived? Do we not have the same experience often, of waiting long for answers to our prayers? If Daniel, who was greatly beloved, had to wait so long, surely we should not become impatient. Let's find out why Daniel had to wait so long. There is something here that will reveal to us the hidden secrets that lie beyond our prayers. The angel lets us peek beyond the curtain that separates heaven from our view, Daniel, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. The trouble is not with the angel, who is immediately sent to help Daniel. The trouble is with the prince of Persia, who is not a worshipper of God. God cannot force his will, for that is contrary to the way he works with men. So a struggle follows in the palace of the king of Persia. Satan himself probably is there, fighting against the efforts of the angel Gabriel to turn the heart of the king toward God's people. Day after day passes. Still Daniel continues to pray on, knowing nothing of the struggle going on behind the curtain. He may be tempted to think God has not heard his prayer, as we are often tempted to think concerning our apparently unanswered prayers. Then Michael, one mightier than the angels, comes to help Gabriel. The hosts of evil cannot stand before him. The king of Persia no longer resists the divine influence. The battle is won, and Gabriel comes now to tell Daniel about it. You and I may not know the secret struggles that are set in motion as a result of our prayers. But let us not doubt. Our prayers are being answered. Angels are also constant visitors in the government councils of modern nations, until the fatal day when they utterly reject the truth of God. The Holy Watcher is a constant witness in the assemblies of rulers. Every just and equitable law that promotes freedom and true prosperity is the result of an influence brought by the angels of heaven. Michael means, he who is like God. Jude tells us that he is the archangel, the chief angel. Gabriel calls him one of the chief angels or the first one. By reading 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16, we learn that the dead are raised from their graves by the voice of the archangel. John, chapter 5, verse 28, tells us that it is the voice of the Son of God who calls them from their graves. Thus it is clear that Michael, the archangel, is really the Son of God. Daniel, chapter 10, verses 15 to 21, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And, behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth, and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak. For thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. Again the angel speaks to Daniel, those words that are greater than the statues erected to world heroes, O man greatly beloved. God loves you, why do you fear? What makes us weak is usually a sense of guilt for our sins. When we are washed in the blood of Jesus, and our fear is taken away, we too are strengthened. After explaining to Daniel what he wishes to understand, Gabriel must return to fight with, or on the side of, the prince of Persia until the kingdom of Greece comes. The message he brings to Daniel is a secret. No one knows it, but Michael your prince, Christ the Savior, God the Father, the angel, and poor Daniel. But what a glorious chain of revelation! The secret passes from God the Father to his prophet, and thence to us.